I'm not going to try and play an instrument. If my talent is writing, I'm not going to get up and try and speak. I'm going to write because that's my talent. And so I have to be targeted with my talent. I have to be tenacious with my talent. I got to work my talent because when I work my talent, then my talent will bless me. But and I'm just talking about me, y'all. I'm just talking about this lesson I've learned because, you know, and if I don't work my talent, then my talent don't work for me. If my talent don't work for me, I still got to give an account to God when I stand before him about the talent he gave me that I didn't work. So I just want to do just a quick refresher as we get into the body of the message. Because I had entitled it, This Is Who We Are. Yep. And the reason why I entitled it, because in verse 1, it says, Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. And but then I just started getting excited about the whole thing about rejoicing. Because Brother Merle, what they were saying is that because the way this psalm was written, I believe it was written during the time of Josiah, the King Josiah, and Josiah was really going through something. They don't really know. Some suggest that, but you know, when I looked it up in the historical Bible, it falls in during the time of Josiah, and so in Josiah, he was going through a time of revitalization. He was revitalizing the temple, and he was kicking folk out, and he was trying to clean God's house and all that. And so they said at some point in time, this song may have been written. They're not sure. It may have been written. So as I was looking at that, and I was looking at just what the psalm says, because the other thing is that this psalm doesn't really have who wrote it down. It just simply, you know, how other songs say Psalm of David, Psalm of Asaph, Psalm while David was, this is a psalm when David was running after Absalom, running from Absalom. This one has nothing. It just simply says, the sovereignty of the Lord in creation and history. It has no author, has no, where it actually came from. And I got to thinking about that because it was so much. I was telling Brother Quincy, it's so much in here and it's so much in my head right now, Brother Brown, trying to get everything out. I probably can get everything out. You know, I'm going to have to probably come back the next couple of Sundays and try to finish getting everything out. But when I thought about the psalm, the reason why I talk about this is who we are, because this psalm really, when you look at it, it helps us to look around. It helps us to see, for us to not be so concerned about all of the stuff that's going on around us. But it helps us to really focus in and, on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. It also commands us and teaches us, as we focus on the goodness and faithfulness of God, in the world, we can also focus up on the beauty of God, which is out of this world. And so if you can focus on the beauty of God out of this world, it's easier for you to deal with the things in this world. And the reason why that sat with me for a while is because as I was talking about our ancestors last week, and I was really clumsily trying to explain why they were the way they were and how they were able to deal with what they dealt with. Because their focus, first and foremost, was not on the things of the world or of the things in the world, but their focus was on the one who created the world. And so that's one reason why I entitled this message, "This Is Who We Are," because, you know, even though this message really is talking about the sovereignty, you know, the strength and the sustainability of God, is what it's talking about. And it's really focused on God. I wanted to take another look at the focus on God because of, you know, because of what, how they were able to get through, and then we started talking about the different songs and all that. That's all great. And so if y'all just kind of bear with me for the next couple of Sundays, because we started talking about this on last week, and you know, we were talking about, you know, how one of the reasons why they were able to pray, you know, to praise what they were able to do, because their focus was on him. Because in verse 1, just in the intro, I talk about how we are to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, and I talk about how that, and how that really is, how praise really is exceptional. You know, I talked about that already, so y'all know, y'all wrote that down, it's exceptional. But one thing I missed on that exceptional concept is that, you know, not only is it exceptional, but it's also accepting. In other words, what I mean by that is that it says you righteous. So if you're not righteous, ain't no need for you praising. As a matter of fact, if you're not righteous, you really can't praise. Because, see, rejoice in the Lord. See, if you're not righteous, that means you're not saved. If you're not saved, that means that you're not acquiesced to the Holy Spirit. And if you're not acquiesced to the Holy Spirit, then you can't rejoice in the Lord. That's why it's exceptional. Because it's reserved. Oh, there we go. That's right there. That's right there. That's right there. It's reserved for the righteous. Because when you praise in the Lord, then that causes the Lord to go on your behalf. They say that the praise that he inhabits, the praise, he lives in the praise. And as he lives in the praise and the praise gets lifted, he gets lifted. And when he gets lifted, he then lifts you. So I thought about that, and I wanted to bring that back to you so you understand that praise is exceptional. Yeah, it's unconventional. It's outstanding, but it's also accepting because just anybody, here it is, just anybody can benefit from praise. I heard a gospel artist a while ago in one of his songs, it's an older song, say that, you know, that, you know, some to the point where you know, it just says that let everything have breath, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's a command. That's a command with expectation. And so because that's a command with expectation, the expectation is your praise is coming from you because of who I am in you. And so, I preached it last week, but I want to just give you that extra point, that extra, you know, thought in the whole part, in the whole issue about praise, because it is exceptional, but it's also accepted because just anybody, only the righteous, can benefit from the praise. And then I talked about how praise with exuberance. Y'all know, y'all heard that, you know, the exuberance of praise from verses 2 and 3, you know, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. Yes, sir, with a shout of joy. It didn't say with a quiet joy, did it? It said with a shout of joy, not a quiet. And even talking about, you know, even when, you know, and I was trying to get you to understand about the exuberance, you know, about, because he says stuff like make melody to him, you know, praise the Lord, sing to him, play skillfully. And he's letting us know it's some things that we have to do. And, you know, and I'm getting to a point, so y'all just kind of walk with me, you know, as I go through this. And so we talked about it being, you know, exceptional and, you know, and exuberant, and also about it being expected. Y'all know we talked about that. We talked about it's amazing how they were able to, you know, write these theological songs, you know, by Lord, you know, precious Lord, take my hand, and be able to sing it and sing it with conviction, because they realized that it didn't matter what they were going through, that God expected the righteous, his saints, his people. It was an expectation from God for the people of God to praise him. Because the object of praise is never what you see outside of you, but it's who you see inside of you and who you see lifted high. See the object of praise is never your stuff. It is never the material. It is never the people. It's none of that. It is always the God, Elohim of your life. So, you know, so I wanted to, you know, just kind of, you know, rehearse that and review that with you, because you have to understand the reason why that is expected. Because remember, I told you that the one who you are focusing on, where it says rejoice in the Lord, there is a constance and a consistency with him. He is constant and consistent no matter what. And praise is for him. So he says sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's just simple praise, but it prays no matter what. And he says, and it's expected, because whatever goes on outside of you, which we're talking about here, whatever goes on outside of you, it should not interrupt and deal and mess with and mess up your praise, because your focus is rejoicing in the Lord. And so, but then I said, it should be, did I talk about how praise should be exalted? We stopped at expected. You know that praise should be exalted. And now here's why. Just in case, you know, you're wondering that, make sure that I'm not making stuff up, and I'm not drinking something or smoking something. You know, it should be exalted, because that's when you go back through here, let's show you something. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Right? Then verse 2 says, praise the Lord. Then it says, make melody to him. And then it says, sing to him and play skillfully with the shout. With the understanding that playing skillfully with the shout is to him. So your praise has got to be exalted. In other words, it's got to go beyond you. As a matter of fact, it's got to be exalted, because it says in Psalm 11, you know, I was looking at that. That's the danger of having to go back and rethink stuff and then come back, you know, still talking about the same thing. It says that the Lord is in his holy temple and the Lord's throne is in heaven. And so your praise is exalted, because your praise is focused on him and who he is and where he is and where he sits. Yeah, he's with us each and every day as the Holy Spirit, but he is still Elohim. He is still the Father who still sits and rules. So that's why it has to be exalted. And that's why our ancestors, that's why our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents could praise, because it was an exalted praise. They weren't praising based on the circumstances. They weren't praising each other and how good they look and how great they were. They weren't praising the government, what the government was doing, because the government's still messing up even right now. They weren't there was an exalted praise, because they realized they had to look to the hills. From whence cometh their help. And that they're focused on the hills. As they were focused on the throne of God, it's easy to have an exalted praise. But then, you know, we talked about how it should be also exemplary. It should be exemplary. Look what it says. It says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with shout of joy. Going back. Sing a new song and then play skillfully. It must be exemplary. You must be able to be that example of what praise is all about. It says sing, it says play, it says shout. Make melody. It must be exemplary. Because, see, people need to know the God you serve. And so, therefore, in order for them to know the God you serve, You must be that example. And so when you go through stuff, that exemplary, you should be able to exemplify the praise of God. You should be able to exemplify who is righteous, because when you go through, you still praise. Those who are not righteous, those who are not godly, those who don't know the Lord, when they go through, they're hurt, they're moaning, they're complaining. It's all, you know the word says, no, don't complain. But they complain. So when they see you go through, your praise must be exemplary, because it must set the example to them so they can be drawn to the God that is taking you through what you are going through. It must be exemplary. Remember, I told you the backdrop to this was some stuff was going on, and even though it was going on, he was still saying, rejoice in the Lord, no matter what's going on around you. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, because you have a reason to rejoice. And the reason you have to rejoice is because of the God who is in you. But then, I looked at it and something else popped up, and it was, praise must be in excellence. Praise must be. See y'all think I'm making this up, right? Y'all looking at me like I'm making this up. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 3. Sing to him a new song. And then it says, play. No, I didn't say skillfully, did it? Oh, it didn't say skillfully. So it didn't say play raggedy, did it? It didn't say play any kind of way, did it? It didn't say do any kind of thing, did it? It says play skillfully with a shout of joy. And I looked at that term skillfully, and that's where the term excellence started to kind of pull out of there, because, see, understanding that, I'm not gonna pick on praise and worship team. I'm not gonna pick on the deacons. I'm not gonna pick on the elders. I'll just pick on me. Because, see, when I think about excellence, because it says, I think about, that excellence, when you think about the word talent comes to mind. Because it says skillful. So there's got to be some kind of talent involved in your, okay. But then I think about the word totality. In other words, all of me. See, excellence deals with not just talent, but the totality of you fulfilling your talent. All right. See, you got to be able to put everything into your. See, you okay? So you know how they talk about Michael Jordan, some of the basketball stars. They will tell you in a minute that they probably on the court maybe 7-8 hours a day. Matter of fact, I heard one time there was one star was saying that they would shoot like 1,000 free throws a day, because they were trying to perfect their talent. See, and so when you think about excellence, you think about putting your all into the talent that you were given. So that's the totality of your talent. But then I thought about how an excellence also means being thoughtful, being kind of direct, trying to really think that thing through and just not being haphazard and doing just anything. Yeah. He's saying play skillfully. In order for you to play skillfully, you got to have talent. Yeah. In order for you to play skillfully, you got to be able to do it with all of you, because that's how God gave you. With that, if you play it skillfully, you got to be able to be thoughtful in how you play it. But also, I look at the word targeted. Because see, because understand something, if I'm talented to write, bro, then I'm going to write. I'm not going to try to sing. If my talent is writing, I'm going to write. I'm not going to try and play an instrument. If my talent is writing, I'm not going to get up and try and speak. I'm going to write, because that's my talent. And so I have to be targeted with my talent. I have to be tenacious with my talent. I got to work my talent, because when I work my talent, then my talent will bless me. But and I'm just talking about me, y'all. I'm just talking about this lesson I've learned, because, you know, and if I don't work my talent, then my talent don't work for me. If my talent don't work for me, I still got to give an account to God when I stand before him about the talent he gave me that I didn't work. Okay. But not only is it tenaciously targeted, but it's also, it has to be timely. So when I think of excellence, I think of being timeliness. I think of being timely. I said I'm gonna pick on praise and worship. I'm gonna pick on praise and worship. But just when I think of excellence, I think about being timely. If I really care about some Brother Brian, and I have an appointment to, you know, to make sure that that which I care about will be taken care of, I'm gonna be on time for that appointment because of the reason for the appointment. And so, and the reason why I'm going to be on time for the appointment, because the reason for the appointment is because the reason for the appointment is something that I really want to do. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to leave it right there. So, you know, I'm timely for Bible study. Yeah. I'm timely for church. I'm timely even for my quiet time with the Lord. I'm going to leave it right there, though. But then I wanted to finish up with that excellence, you know, deals with also what I call thankfulness. Because you realize that what you have was given to you and it don't belong to you. And you're going to make the best use of what is given to you because of the brevity of time that you are given to use it in. So, when I looked at that, I know y'all say y'all probably got all that stuff as well too. So, but when we say play skillfully, my mind went to excellence. And one who is skillful is simply, or one who is excellent is one who, just listen to me. One who displays excellence is one who is tenaciously and totally targeted, thankful, and timely with his or her talent. One who displays excellence is one who is tenaciously and totally targeted, thankful, and timely with his or her talents. Are you a person of excellence? I'm still striving for excellence. But I wanted to finish that up in the intro, because I wanted you to understand when he says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Yeah. Sing to him a new song. I even touch about why you sing the new song. You know why you sing the new song? Because there's new mercies every day. So you should be able to sing a new song because of the new mercies that's giving you every day. If you can't sing a new song, then you don't recognize the new mercies that are giving you every day. I thought I'd throw that in for free. And so as I was trying to do it on last week, I wanted you to understand that's the reason why when I think about our forefathers, when I think about our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and I realize that they were able to do all, they were able to praise because of the focus of their praise. And the praise was going to be expected, exceptional, exuberant, you know, it was going to be also exalted, exemplary, and excellent because of who the object of the focus of the praise is, one who is exceptional. One who is exalted, one who is excellent. So let me go to my first point. This is who we are. And we are one, we are people who acknowledge the Father who is faithful. Write that down. We acknowledge the faithfulness of our Father. This is why we can get through what we go through. Just so you can understand where do you see that at? You really can look in the whole the whole psalm. But let's look at verses 4 through 6. Look what he says. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." See, the reason why they were able to get through what they went through and deal what they had to deal with, and the reason why that's how we're going to get through all this chaos right now, is because they acknowledge the faithfulness of the Father. He says, "For the word of the Lord is right. His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord," and goes on. But then he even over as it, now understand something. In verses 4 through 6, that really summarizes all of Psalm 33. But I want to pull out some particulars in Psalm 33 to talk about that as well. Because it says that he commanded and it stood fast. Verse 9, verse 10 says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever." Then it goes down and says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all." I mean, and it goes. And so what I want you to see here is that God is faithful to you and I. But he's faithful because he is the creator, because he created everything. And he's faithful because he is. All this simply is saying that he is sovereign. He is sovereign. But let's go now. Let's look at this. So, just for the word of the Lord is right. We can stop right there. We can acknowledge the Father who is faithful because his word is eternal. Yeah. Y'all, his word is going to outlast you and me and everybody else and then some. Yeah. His word is eternal. "For the word of the Lord is right." In other words, the word of the Lord is straight. That word right there, it means to be straight. I like that right there because he said that, see, God's word ain't cutting no corners. So if you stick with the word of God, what happens is you're going to upset folk on your left and you're going to upset folk on your right. You're going to upset friends and you're going to upset family. You're going to upset enemies and you're going to even upset yourself. Because the word of the Lord is straight. In other words, the word of the Lord is eternal. The word of the Lord goes beyond what you and I can even think or even fathom. It goes beyond what we can speak. It goes beyond us. He said, "It's the word of the Lord is right." That's why they can praise, because they realize that whatever the Lord spoke, that's what's going to happen. I believe they heard in Isaiah somewhere he said that my word will go out, and when it leaves me, it will not come back void. It's going to accomplish everything that I intend for it to accomplish, because it is my word. And so if I lean on his word has infinitely been what I call, we've been able to infinitely depend upon the word of God because it's been infinitely dependable. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word was never right. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word was wrong. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word failed. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word never did come true. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word has fallen apart. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word has fallen apart. It has never been one time in God's existence where his word didn't accomplish what he told it to accomplish, even when we didn't like what it was accomplishing in the way. See, we acknowledge the Father who is faithful because his word is eternal and his word is eternally faithful. Now, we might not like what he said sometimes. Well, I know there's many times I didn't like what he said, but no. But his word is eternal. Yeah. I'm tempted to go to the next sub-point, but we're not going to finish today. We acknowledge the Father who is faithful, not only because his word is eternal, but his work is established. His work is established, y'all. I want y'all to sit on that for a little bit. Because, see, there's this thing called what I call the absolute will of God. And there's this thing that I call the will of God. It's the absolute will, and then you have where he will allow you some things to happen. Permissive, thank you. And so, but even with his will being absolute and or permissive, you do know that his works are established in the earth. How do we know that? Because it says here in verse six, by the word of the Lord of heavens, the heavens were made, and all the hosts by them were brought. He gathers the waters, he lays up the deep in storehouses. And then it goes and says, he commands and everything stood fast. He brings counsel, once again, the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. In other words, your plans don't mean nothing to him because his work is already established for you. But we're going to stop right there. Because I think about this thing really quick. I think about when they were marching in the 60s. And I was thinking about just some of the things that Dr. King was saying. I was reading some of his material and listening to some of his interviews. And see, the work had already been established by God. I mean, the civil rights, they were going to be won. But there were times where they didn't know if it was going to be won or not. But God had already established it. And all they did in obedience is walk in what God had already established. Y'all, we don't walk in what God has already established. I'm not just talking about corporately. I'm talking about individually in your life. The reason why you're going through some stuff right now and all hell may be breaking loose in your life and all chaos is crazy in your life, the reason it might be not because of what you may be doing is absolutely wrong. It may simply be that you have decided not to walk in the established work that he has for you. He ain't going to make you walk in it, but you're going to catch hell when you don't walk in it. I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to finish up. We're going to pick up on that next week. Because the more I look at this, the more I realize, you know, this is why. This is why that our ancestors could walk and praise God, and because they realized who he was. They realized his faithfulness. Do you realize God's faithfulness in your life? Do you? We're going to stop right there. We're going to pick up on his work being established. Ask yourself this week, what established work am I supposed to be walking in right now? In my brief life that I'm living, that I'm going to be held accountable for when I do stand before God. Ask yourself that question. If you forget it, go back to Facebook, you'll be able to hear what I just said. But ask yourself that. Ask yourself. Because there is an established work in your life that you and I going to be held accountable for. And God ain't going to take no excuses. Father, we thank you on this day for being so wonderful. Yeah.